Chapter 27, Recruiting. Most people think that staffing begins with sourcing. But as you'll see, in strong product companies, staffing begins with active recruiting. In an HR-driven approach to hiring, a hiring manager might provide a job description, but things don't really get going until HR starts providing resumes, known as sourcing. In fact, one of the obvious symptoms of this problem is that when the hiring manager complains that she's not getting enough high-quality resumes. Yet, for strong managers, it's the opposite. The hiring manager identifies what she wants, and then she goes out and recruits. It's analogous to a college or professional sports team. While a coach might get an occasional walk-on, the rough equivalent of someone sending in their resume, mostly the coach actively works to recruit the necessary talent, visiting prospects, getting to know them personally, and working to persuade the desired talent to join their team. It's worth pointing out that recruiting rather than sourcing is the fastest way I know to improve diversity. Especially when the hiring manager understands that innovation thrives in a team where each person thinks differently. We generally don't want or need more of the same. We need people with different educations, different approaches to problem solving, different life experiences, and different strengths. The truly strong manager knows that, through recruiting, she is crafting product teams and not just a collection of people. So where do you find these people? Building your network of potential recruits is an ongoing activity, not something you start doing once you have an opening. You meet people at industry conferences and professional meetups, at competitors, during visits to partners and customers, via introductions from referrals, and even socially. Schedule calls or coffees with people when you'd like to further develop the relationship. You have the opportunity to begin a mentoring relationship that can hopefully develop into a coaching relationship when the time is right. I'm also a fan of hosting talks at your offices with selected industry speakers who can attract candidates and also help build the reputation of your organization. Another great technique is a company blog, written to demonstrate your dedication to the craft of great product. If you work at a large company, often the right talent can be found inside your own company. I often find people in random roles that are recognized as exceptionally smart and always find a way to get things done, but who never considered themselves to be product people. I always encourage hiring managers to cast a wide net when looking for exceptional product talent. I found them in engineering, finance, marketing, sales, legal, and in a business owner or stakeholder role. You need to be sensitive to the rest of the organization here, as you're not trying to poach people, but rather you're trying to make sure everyone is in the best position to utilize their talents. You also need patience when developing this network of potential recruits. I have literally worked on recruiting some people for several years, getting to know them and their career goals, and planting seeds by sending them articles on the product role, sharing books, and generally talking with them about their career goals and what steps they can take to reach them. As an example, when recruiting product managers, I seek out entrepreneurial people. Many of the type I'm looking for aspire to start their own company one day. So I explain to them that product management is considered the proving ground for a startup founder or CEO, and I explain why that's the case. Now, it is true if you establish a reputation as a strong manager who makes a sincere and sustained effort to develop her people, there will be more people who approach you for a job, which is great. But this is not a substitute for ensuring you are recruiting the people and team you need. In any case, it can take years to build that personal brand. It is essential that recruiting be a proactive and consistent activity for every manager. Realize also that if you genuinely care about developing your people, you will be amazed at how many referrals this can generate. Also note that for product talent, the product vision can and should be one of your most effective recruiting tools. And of course, the products you create, if successful, will help people take notice. If you make recruiting an ongoing and high priority activity, then soon enough, you'll have a healthy network and funnel of strong candidates. And as you open new positions, and as people reach good transition points in their careers, you'll be well positioned to bring them in. Sidebar: making recruiting a priority. I, Chris, experienced the power of real coaching in my first job as a product manager at a startup. My job was predominantly as an individual contributor, with the expectation that I would eventually build out the product management team. The company was growing fast, and my product was gaining momentum and customers. I was impossibly busy, and I was finally given the approval to hire another product manager to help me out. The demands on me as an individual contributor hadn't changed, so I relied heavily on our small HR team to drive the process. I would check in with them once or twice a week, review resumes, and conduct phone screens, but was otherwise quite passive. I had so much other work, and besides, this was what the HR department was there for, right? During this time, I had regular one-on-ones with my manager. He asked me about how the recruiting was going, and I filled him in on the promising resumes and phone screens. I would quickly pivot to discussing the product and the business, and without irony, how completely underwater I was. After 2 weeks, I still hadn't found any candidates worthy of bringing in for an interview. And in our one-on-one, my manager refused to let me move on to a new topic. He told me with no uncertainty that hiring a new product manager was my single most important task right now. This was my day job, not all the other things that were consuming my time. To underscore the importance, he said that until that role was filled, I should expect to spend a minimum of 50% of my time on that task. Everything else was secondary. This was a complete shock to me. I wasn't able to get my current task done, so how could I possibly free up that much time? We proceeded to go through everything I was working on and together discussed what could be temporarily deprioritized, what could be shifted to other people in the company, and what could be shifted directly to him. After we had created space for the hiring work, I was hit with my next realization. I had no idea how to even spend that much time on hiring. My manager then led me through a process where we brainstormed strategies for me to tap and develop my personal network, actively scour resources for candidates, reframe the job description, and generally how to play a much more active role in driving recruiting rather than slotting into an HR sourcing process. This single one-on-one was one of the most memorable in my career. It profoundly expanded my view of my job. It built a new level of trust with my manager. It shined a bright light on where I needed to grow. And it gave me a glimpse of what real leadership looked like. I was newly inspired and plunged into the hiring task. What had happened was a change in my mental framing. This was not simply learning new tools or skills, though that was a part of it. I glimpsed the mindset of my manager as he coached me, and I realized I would need to adopt that mindset as I transitioned into a first-time manager position. Sidebar: outsourcing. Seriously? I certainly hope that anyone who has listened this far already knows what I'm about to say about the prospect of outsourcing. But first, some caveats. I'm speaking here about outsourcing as it pertains to the core roles in a tech product organization: product managers, product designers, engineers, data analysts and data scientists, user researchers, and the managers of these people. Your products are the lifeblood of your company, and these skills must be core competencies. Your customers depend on these products and services. Outsourcing these things will almost certainly kill any chance you have of teams of missionaries. Just the opposite. You literally have created teams of mercenaries. You might say that you don't have people on staff with the necessary skills. Then either hire these people or invest in your existing staff to learn and develop those skills, primarily through coaching and training. You might say that you think you'll save money by hiring some low-cost offshore firm. I promise you that you will end up spending much more and getting much less for it. The amount of overhead in terms of time and communication, and even more important, the opportunity cost of losing your ability to innovate, makes this a very poor investment. Occasionally, we have some large burst of work, such as test automation or a large migration, and using an outsourcing firm for this is not going to be a problem. Just remember that a smaller group of missionaries will always outperform a larger group of mercenaries, especially if you consider the need for both discovery and delivery.